G'day guys, welcome to this week's Hash It Out. I'm CW and I'm joined by Joe and Noah. How are we, gentlemen?
Doing well.
Doing pretty well.
It's good to hear. I almost forgot my name then, so that was a bit embarrassing. today's Hash It Out, we're going to be talking about mining. So we're roughly 4 months on from the merge, and might be a nice topic to discuss the state of the industry and everything at the moment. So let's hash it out.
All right. Well, you know, the merge itself, like I was saying this going up to the merge, 95% of the proof of work market blew up, right? Everybody got fired, right? And whenever you have that type of disruption, things are going to consolidate. People are going to compete to the bottom, right? And maybe we're close to that. Maybe we're still grinding to the bottom. We're what? How many months did you say?
Roughly four months.
You know, when I guessed way back when, I was thinking maybe 6 to 12, right? Because
yeah, it really hasn't been that long yet.
Yeah, things have to consolidate, right? And unfortunately, what happens, like this is painful, is people have to give up. Yeah. Like, you know, you could even outside of like mining, you could even look on like the proof of stake side, and you can say, okay, like, you know, some people in our ecosystem are on the Cardano side, their pool parameter is set to 500. There's more than 500. And so like the optimal economic model means a lot of those extra pools either have to create some additional source of revenue or die.
Yeah. And it's often the bare metal sort of single stake pool operators on that side also who unfortunately have like infrastructure costs, et cetera. And it's just not profitable for them, unfortunately.
Yeah. So in terms of the proof of work market, it's consolidating. I don't know if it's, you know, reached the bottom and, you know, is going to trend in the other direction. A lot of that has to do with market forces. And, you know, the reality is that's about as predictable as predicting trading because the two are correlated. Yeah. And I'm no, you know, wizard when it comes to TA and all that good stuff.
Black magic, really.
Yeah, just chicken bone reading. And
well, if anyone wants some magic TA, jump onto Funiculum's Twitter account. You get some classics on there. So TA
the
master.
charts.
But yeah, in regards to mining, you did touch on saying basically miners have to come to unfortunate sort of decision of having to turn off. And we saw basically even up to six weeks to 8 weeks thereabouts, people still mining and trying to push the agenda. So they might have taken profits and they're trying to run and maintain some sort of operation. But ultimately you see sort of just looking from the influencer side and people throughout even our ecosystem just constantly sort of just, well, not constantly, but regularly just announcing that they're turning off their rigs and just waiting for more profitability. Like we all know what happened to power prices and I'm not too sure what things are like in the States, but here they're coming down a little bit also. So that even helps a little.
Yeah. You know, the long-term, let's say perfect trade would have been to become cash flow positive before the merge, turn off and consolidate near the bottom. And then hopefully as the trend reverses, you know, bigger farm, hopefully more efficient equipment. But that's hard to do, right? And the reality is, proof of work is kind of unique compared to other consensus mechanisms to where miners do carry risk. They also carry the profitability aspect of it. But, you know, because they're the ones that actually have the input costs, they create this kind of beautiful zero rate of return market. And, you know, that return and risk does exist, but it's externalized, which is kind of where some people will look at miners as mercenaries, which, you know, they're looking for profitability. I don't see anything wrong with that. They're running a business. Proof of work, a lot of people have kind of shifted away from seeing that as popular. And in my opinion, that's kind of a shame.
Yeah, exactly. Having real world input costs, running infrastructure, maintaining, like setting up maintenance schedules, actually physically maintaining cards, et cetera, et cetera. There is a real cost associated with producing coins, and the security benefit that that provides, I don't think that can be sort of replicated. Like we've all seen sort of the rise of Bitcoin and the proof of work market, and even now where you've got large entities, whether it's government or sort of power institutes or things like that, power companies, utilizing miners to balance grids and load shed and all kinds of things. So ultimately, I dare say I'll see a lot more of that in the future, where you do have that cross collaboration between these entities and miners and everything like that moving forward, where they even push sustainability initiatives as well.
I'll go for it. No,
I was just gonna change topics. So if you got something you want to add, go for it.
Oh, I was gonna say that there's a couple of things about proof of work that are kind of unique, right? The first is that proof of work does create a certain incentive to, let's say, find waste electricity, you know, in terms of power costs, and then create a profit from that, and that, you know, creates a kind of unique framework in terms of reusing wasted electricity. You know, having hard money, you know, with subsidized input costs, I think is much better. You know, if I look at a lot of other consensus mechanisms, you know, a lot of it is social based. I don't know how else to put it. And social stuff is great. And, you know, I would say that, you know, social networks, communities do have value, and it's an interesting proposition in terms of like creating some kind of distributed consensus. But at the same time, you get politics, and that's never fun. You know, so in a way, proof of work is like a resource economy, and you know, a lot of other consensus mechanisms are kind of a weird social corporate structure, I guess.
Yeah, it's funny, like on Cardano specifically with stake pool operators, like the vast majority of stake pools are not the most profitable ones to stake to. So it's like you have to create like value driven initiatives or like create some sort of social culture club
creating a brand
and just like a brand, some kind of identity that people identify with that they feel drawn to, or you just find the most profitable one. But you're fighting against profitability in that. Mm. Whereas in mining, that weird social dynamic just isn't there.
Oh, but you know, there's a trade-off there too. Like, you know, having an incentive to attract stake creates a distributed marketing machine.
Mm-hmm.
Like quite loud. And you know, miners are just like in their basements, in their garage, you know, saying, "All right, are my rigs up? Cool. You know, I'm out."
Chilling.
That's it.
Yeah.
Check the RGB glow from the basement. All is
well. You know, like I've even tried to engage miners in you know, certain discussions, and they're like, "Man, I don't give a shit. That's why I'm a miner."
That's funny. Yeah.
Are you still mining, Joe?
On and off.
Yeah.
A lot of the times when I was mining, I was mining testnet.
Yeah.
So until that bridge is complete. No.
Yeah, fair enough. I still mine during the day. So here you're in Australia, it's summer, so I've got really long days. I've got solar set up, so it's basically costing me nothing to run. And then at the end of the week, I'll check my solar reports, and depending on how much excess I've exported to the grid, I'll sort of might make that up over the weekend at night or something like that. So that's the way I'm sort of operating at the moment.
I've never, my mining has never been that serious for a long time. You know, I preferred to run AMDs just because, well, I didn't like NVIDIA, but I guess they open sourced their stuff like last year. So now everybody's out competing me in terms of efficiency. Oops.
Go Team Red.
One day I'd love to see a Mac OS GPU mining software, you know. I'm all on Mac, and it's not the most mining friendly operating system, but yeah, that'd be neat. I've looked into it a few times.
M1's glowing.
Oh yeah. They announced the M2 today, actually.
Oh wow.
Yeah. For a nice 5K, you could have an M2 Max. But anyway, I wanted to bring up sort of closer to home in our own community. We recently had GetBlock sort of turn off their rigs, so to speak, due to cost. And that was, from my understanding, just the cost of running that infrastructure was... it was too high. I was operating at a loss, and because they were doing something different that required I don't really know the full technical reason behind it, but I know it required a lot of infrastructure, servers, and things like that, and the cost was just too high.
Yeah, it's a shame, but you know, I understand it.
Yeah,
I'm sad that they didn't get more support from the community. You know, but. You know, a lot of miners, it makes sense if they're short term, you know, let's say, you know, plugging into the network for a period of time to go with the bigger pool because the shares are a little bit more consistent. Longer term miners, you know, I'd say try to support the little guys because net over time, you know, it kind of equals out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the biggest factor, basically, isn't it? It's just time. So a lot of people do... just want to see that constant regular sort of erg payout in their wallets just sort of trickling in all the time. So it looks like something's happening. Whereas if you're on one of the smaller pools, they might hit or blocks at an irregular sort of time period. And over time, it does even itself out with luck and everything like that. So yeah, just a little bit more inconsistent there. But yeah, miners have real world costs and everything like that. So I totally understand the mindset from both directions there also.
Fortunately, they recently announced that they are putting together a new project called Lithos Protocol. Friendly shill, I'll be hosting them on a Twitter space this Thursday. So I don't have the UTC time right now, but it's 7 p.m. PST. But I would love to see some of our community there. And I know we have... miners that watch. I would love to see you guys there and ask questions.
and where can they find that, mate? What channel?
That's on Twitter.
What handle?
The Sigmaverse Twitter. I'll be hosting that. And they recently put out a light paper, and they've got a Telegram channel.
Yeah, and you got to show the SNISPs video from the hackathon too.
Yeah.
We can check those links in the description below. So if you're looking for that, jump on there. Highly encourage everyone to do so because it's a wealth of knowledge and what these guys are doing. Once again, like we saw the innovation they brought with GetBlock and the sub-pooling model and everything along those lines, that's fantastic. And hopefully someone picks that up at some point and keeps running with it, being open source, et cetera. And what they're doing with the SNIS model, it doesn't only sort of just benefit Ergo itself, but the entire mining industry as a whole, which is pretty exciting.
There have been a lot of attempts to disrupt Stratum, and I think this is one of the most interesting I've ever seen. So I'm a big fan. I'm going to be watching.
Maybe could you break down that disruption a little bit? Like what are the key differences between the two? For someone who maybe
sure. So in order to pool hash rate right now, everybody is mining to a node, right? And that node is hosted by the pool operator. And because it's hosted by the pool operator. They have certain, let's just say, powers and controls over rewards and payouts, because it is a system of trust. Like, we actually on Ergo even have had, you know, some little mining pool spin up, a couple people mine to it, and they never get paid out, right? It's a rug, basically. You know, there's a certain trust assumption, because you really don't have custody until, you know, they grace you with the payout. That's one of the biggest issues with Stratum mining, is the entire concept is based on a trusted entity. Pushing that on chain, having smart contracts distribute rewards, you know, it disrupts the trust model of Stratum, which is kind of the foundation for basically every proof of work network out there.
Yeah, so it basically comes down to shares and the way they process shares. So like Joe was just mentioning there, that all that processing on a traditional mining pool is done behind the scenes, and it has that sort of trust me bro model where you're basically relying on the word of the mining pool. Yeah.
You know, it's a central database. So it is somewhat, I'm going to say, ironic.
Yeah.
That, you know, here you get into this, like, you know, not your keys, not your crypto, but let's mine to somebody else's keys.
Yeah, it's hilarious, actually.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, distribute according to basically the amount of shares that you provided to find that proof there.
Yeah, and you know, the benefit of pooled mining is, you know, you do get more regular payouts, and, you know, as the ecosystem grows, and it allows, you know, kind of little guys to form, well, for lack of a better word, an alliance and compete even with farms and larger, more industrial setups. So I can see the economic benefits, but like the actual back end itself has always been a little wonky, in my opinion, just in terms of like the ethos of this industry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what they're planning to do is basically take that share model and everything and basically put it on chain. Obviously, with the help of AVLs, I believe, and the processing and all that sort of stuff. So there's a huge amount of data when you're actually running a mining pool or a Stratum, basically processing all these shares and everything like that. And it just makes that the Stratum infrastructure basically transparent and on-chain, so people can sort of verify where things are at. So yeah, it's huge innovation, and really looking forward to sort of this one being built out also.
Yeah, I guess you could look at it as like replacing the Stratum setup with the layer two. Pretty cool stuff.
That's really cool.
And the really neat thing about it is, you know, if economically viable, you know, you would have people potentially mining Bitcoin or, you know, other proof of work projects on a layer two on Ergo.
Yeah, that's the part where I don't think people are sort of, it hasn't clicked for many at this point as well, is basically what Joe was just saying there, is it's basically if you're mining Bitcoin or any proof of work coin, for instance, it can settle and have the proofs made or settled basically on the Ergo layer two. I'm sure it's going to be called Lithos, but that's exciting part. Open and basically proof of work mining, having the shares, infrastructure, everything like that, the Stratum's open and transparent, being on chain as well. So yeah, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's wild. High level idea. I really, I don't know. I'm going to be sidelined with popcorn here in a month.
Well, just on this also, I'm not too sure if any or the viewers know, but I've only ever watched one video of myself, and it was the one I did with GetBlock on the Dark Cave Miners, and it's when we had Cheese on and we discussed the SNIS concept and the decentralization of mining pools, and initially discussed all this, and it's the only one I've ever watched once, so had to go back there and after the discussion actually recap and get my head around what Cheese was actually mentioning there, because it's pretty mind-blowing.
He's so smart, man. It's crazy. He's he's such a good resource for the dev community, and he was behind Plasma too, right?
Yeah, correct.
And I'm assuming this will make use of that same kind of framework in their layer two. is my guess.
Let's see. Yeah. Let's see. I haven't seen anything spec'd out.
Yeah.
I also know the only reason I say that is because I know he's in discussions in terms of other types of roll-up solutions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was heavy in the discussion with Q, and I believe with the optimistic roll-ups. So yeah. He's one smart cookie. He's got his mind sort of delve deep into the depths of the L2 and scaling and even mining. So that's where it kind of kicked off. But very humble guy as well, and always willing to help anyone who has any questions. So yeah, hats off to both him and Rob also. So yeah, great resource for the Ergo community.
Mm-hmm.
We're in for an interesting time anyway, moving into 2023. Like, there's always this regulatory ghost over the crypto industry. You know, it's been haunting us since like 2014. Every once in a while we hear, it's the end, there's going to be regulation. You know, China's made Bitcoin illegal, all this good stuff.
So, you know,
mining is going to be illegal, proof of stakes is going to be securities by central bank digital currencies. But it does seem like we are kind of marching more and more towards that as an external reality, in terms of centralized digital money. So it's going to be an interesting time for kind of the crypto space, in my opinion, because, you know, we're already seeing a lot of capitulation in the industry in terms of, okay, well, we want to try to be compliant and lead the way. Let's say in that direction, first principles be damned.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. I was also just about to mention, in regards to regulation, you did mention it. It's just been hovering over the industry for years now. And it's just whole heap of speculation, because there's no one entity around the world. It's always talk and saying, we're going to do this, or we're going to do that, and gonna. And obviously, we haven't seen anything at this point in time, but unfortunately, even 2022 could probably be remembered as the time where, with all the sort of shenanigans that happened in the industry, it certainly put a spotlight on the industry and made regulators aware of what's going on and what can potentially happen. And unfortunately, they look at that and take that as sort of the worst case scenario, and they don't look at the flip side and see the potential and sort of drive innovation. They just want to regulate it to death, in my opinion. Well,
I don't know. I feel like if you look at the United States right now, politically, things aren't so productive at the moment. So at least here, who knows what will happen in the next year.
Yeah. But, probably not much. A lot of noise.
Yeah, exactly.
Raise the debt ceiling. That's the one thing they're going to do. Kick that can.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that coming up, is it?
It's always coming up, man. We're always burning.
It's like Janet Yellen is like, yeah, we got to raise the debt ceiling again in 6 months or whatever. But anyway, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe in other countries, more regulation will come. I feel like at least in the US, there's a lot of talk about it, but maybe it won't happen yet.
Yeah. And even then, good luck. That's what I say. If these systems are built to be resilient, good luck. It's really interesting to look at, you know, the energy industry, how that's, let's say flare gas being recycled as proof of work. And I guess the volcano bonds are going to be either voted on soon and, you know, potentially come out in El Salvador. And that's kind of wild to think about, geothermal proof of work.
Mm-hmm.
That's a trade-off. Just depends where you look.
Yeah. Volcano bonds is a great name.
Yeah, that's wild. That's wild, you know. I'm not always the biggest fan of lightning, but it's pretty neat to see anyway.
Yeah.
And on the regulation front as well, like, we'll see some coalition, I guess, between jurisdictions and people sort of wanting to do that sort of hard line. And you might see some countries and sort of teaming up on certain aspects, but other, it's just going to be jurisdiction arbitrage. I think we've mentioned it a couple of times and hash it out where if it's not favorable in one country, the people will pack up and move to another where it is favorable. And yeah, these systems are built to be resilient, and that's what they'll just keep forging ahead.
Yeah, it seems like in proof of work, the arbitrage is energy price.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like the European Union central banks are pretty CBDC happy recently. So that's something that I've kind of got my eye on. We'll see what happens there as far as regulation. But yeah, I mean, the Mixer got an update today. So, you know, resilience is something everyone should have in the back of their pocket.
Yeah, and you know, I know that you're talking the zero join framework Mixer, but Sigma join is still on the table. That's still, you know, kind of in open discussions periodically. And you know, once you get outsourceable mixing, then potentially you can get open source off chain code to that, and you can plug it in on the wallet level, and suddenly, like the user experience of using privacy is going to be moving really quickly in the green button direction.
Yeah,
and that's exciting to see.
Really excited for that. And basically, I don't know how the UI and everything will be set up, but basically having a checkbox to say mix this transaction or something along those lines, yeah, game changing.
I saw in the last week or so there was some work being done on stealth addresses as well.
Yeah.
I don't recall, because I remember that was worked on a few hackathons ago. I haven't looked into what is actually being done now. Is that like integration into AppKit or something? Like what's the newest developments there?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't been following the Git discussion in a bit. I know that Anand Burr and Soizor were having an ongoing conversation, and I think they reached some sort of consensus and then pushed it for a review, but I don't know if that review's happened yet.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'd have to jump onto the Git and check it out. If anyone wants to follow on the discussions, jump into the dev channel. They're hashing it out sort of basically 24 hours, 48 hours ago. It was pretty exciting discussion. And stealth addresses, it's just another privacy sort of utility that you have in your toolkit. So the cool thing about them is basically you have an address, and you could use it as like a tip wallet or something like that. You can display the address on, like, say, your Twitter profile maybe, and all the deposits and things, they're not linked to any certain person and stuff like that. So that's basically this high level sort of concept behind stealth addresses there.
Yeah, actually, Ross, who I think is Soysore, he wrote a nice Medium article that I missed until just now about stealth addresses and how they work.
He's been pushing stuff on Medium recently.
Yeah, it's cool.
On people browse as well. So we've got to give him a shout.
Yeah, I'll try to push some of his stuff. That's cool.
Yeah, I've got it open in a couple of tabs, actually. So I've got some reading to do. And I'll find some time.
Yeah, you know, it's one of these people in the ecosystem that's like, why does this guy not have more followers than me? I don't know.
Yes. He's got 82 followers.
Yeah, that's sad. That's sad to me. You know, and the reality is, unfortunately, most of the better developers, better minds. How many does Cheese have?
I think 200, something like that. Yeah.
So
most of the time, it's the people that are this.
Yeah.
That just get the most attention, not necessarily the people you really want to listen to and learn from. So, I hope that the community can kind of amplify that type of content, because it is valuable, in terms of getting the end user to understand what we're building and why it matters.
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of, that sort of statement, I guess it kind of emphasizes the Ergo ecosystem as a whole. Quite humble, sitting here just building away and not one sort of out there making all these promises and under-delivering, over-promising, et cetera, et cetera. And basically the proof is in the pudding. You can jump onto the repos, you can jump into discussions, everything's there, it's like all laid out. So it's a huge sort of resource for the community to just instill that trust and transparency. So I hope it doesn't go away so anytime soon for the Ergo site. Really exciting.
And, you know, the community for a while has been asking us to release financial details from the Ergo Foundation. We did that as well this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
So anybody that wants to hop on and kind of look at that now, you know, there's one thing that you have to keep in mind. The spending the first year and a half was a bit higher, but that's because we were bootstrapping a ecosystem from nothing relative to the price of ERG. So like the initial... let's say listings, you know, partnerships and all of that had a higher burn rate because ERG wasn't very valuable.
Yeah. And basically drive home the fact as well that the largest expense has been with listings. So for anyone who hasn't sort of caught up, it's, I think the total spend, if you break it down, it's about 7.2 million roughly over 3.5 years. And the majority of that has been to be able to get ERG listed, unfortunately, on centralized exchanges, implementing open source protocols. So hopefully we can get some more on board for lower costs or no cost. But it's
on it.
The management of the... Thank you, Joe. the management of the funds and the, having to be frugal because there's only a certain amount, and basically bootstrapping everything, providing resourcing with open source tooling and everything like that. It's basically just driving the community forward by providing all these resources and everything where anyone can just come in and pick up and jump on board.
Yeah, there's a lot of Bitcoiners out there that say, you know, how can you trust something with a foundation? But if you really look at the history of the Bitcoin Foundation, which was around for a while, well, they were shit at managing funds. All kinds of shady business.
Yeah, that was, it even got quite political in some respects. And like there was a number of entities putting through BIPs and everything like that, larger blocks and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, that was a bit of a interesting time, I guess, in the history of cryptocurrency.
Yeah, the transparency report's pretty great. I think it'll go pretty underrated. I think, it's not like a sexy, marketable thing, but just having that transparency is just another... It goes a long way. Like, it's the transparency and values of the ecosystem, it's really the sum of its parts. And so little things like that go a long way. Maybe a user comes into the ecosystem and they're curious rather than just saying, oh, we don't know. Like, you can just send them a link. Maybe then they'll send it to another person. And it goes a long way in the long run in just creating... not trust, because it's not about trusting the foundation, but just knowing what's going on. Transparency, yeah.
You know, it's always been on chain.
Yeah.
You know, if anybody looked anyway, they could always find that address and even track it if they wanted. So even though I can say, NDA, I can't tell you what exchange costs because I signed a legal agreement. Well, it's on chain coming from an on-chain treasury, so it's really an open secret.
Yeah.
I think it's on ergo.watch now. I'll jump on there actually. I think they've actually got a link there or a criterion, the metrics, being able to track the treasury spending or the treasury address there.
We've spent a lot less than most dApps. Yeah. And in larger ecosystems.
Some that have not delivered anything.
Yeah, a lot. Actually, if you look at the history of, projects on top of other chains, you know, you can look at all of the Ethereum raises that just went to marketing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's having that transparency. And I knew in the back of my mind, without actually having done the math and everything like that, the cost or the spending or the expenditure of the EF would have been pretty low in regards to, or in putting it into comparison to other ecosystems and things. But when the number actually kind of came out at that, say, 7 million mark, like, if you look what, like, Ardana had 10 million and they produced an open Git with nothing sort of beneficial for anyone, and no developer could pick up anything. And to think of what the core devs and the community and everything like that is, that they've been able to sort of bootstrap here over a number of years for basically, what is it, a quarter or less of funding than what that dApp or app sort of raised. It's pretty mind-blowing. And if you look at it, like putting it in the context of, say, EOS, they ended up raising like $4 billion. And what have they done with that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just...
Yeah. I have no idea. You even Cardano, I think their initial ICO was 63 million, 64 million, something like that. Uh-huh. So, you know, net, I think we're doing pretty damn good in terms of cost efficiency.
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, we get a lot of complaints about it. And when marketing, and it's like, well, if you saw the price sheets, you know.
Yeah, we can...
Maybe you change your mind a little bit, but
you know, probably not, honestly, because
yeah, probably not, sadly. But you know, there's always going to be people that are like, okay, I bought here, I want you to pump the price to here so then I can sell here and leave, right? And that's not been the goal of the Ergo Foundation. We've been you know, kind of in place to bootstrap the actual core development of the ecosystem and build out the developer environment, and that has nothing to do with buy here and sell here.
Yeah, exactly. Even to the point where we've just had EF members basically write EIPs for like the difficulty adjustment, getting back onto the mining side of things. We've kind of gone way off off field here in regards to treasury management of the EF and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, we're bringing that back to mining. You saw at the time basically wanting to deliver Node 5.0 and another of other, like Oracle's, the Oracle V2 framework and another number of other sort of frameworks that were in heavy development, and basically drop all that and then have a fixed ERP37 for the difficulty adjustment algorithm. Just goes to show that, like, sort of the professionalism and everything like of the community and the core team as well. So yes, hats off, that's for sure.
Yeah, and hopefully over time, you know, the mining community does become more independent. You know, the one thing I do like about proof of work is that it is kind of a winner eat all game. That's why Ethereum had 95% of the, you know, market subsidy for miners, because, you know, they were dominant. And I think that, you know, net in terms of like the full Ergo stack, we're positioned pretty well. You know, we're in terms of like being feature rich and solid. You know, there are other projects that are interesting, but in terms of just the full scope of what Ergo is capable of, you know, it's kind of a weird animal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right now it's just it's really just speculative in the bear market of mining. But you know, we'll see how things play out long term.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes weird things happen, right? And like, I think FTX was actually a really good example of this in some sense, where you had a token that, you know, based on the market value of the token, not necessarily the market demand or the liquidity, was a certain allocation of a company's overall balance sheet, right? And so there's a certain incentive for dead projects not to die, because they're on people's balance sheets. And so that means that the cumulative, you know, worth, even though, you know, the technology may not necessarily be going anywhere, does reflect like a certain balance sheet on shareholders. tables. So there's a certain incentive there to keep them alive.
Yeah, you see no. a little fizzle with FTT or like Terra Luna, Luna Classic, whatever it's called now. They'll be a little fizzle, a little bit of activity, and die back down. And yeah, you kind of see that a little now.
Let's see what happens with DCG.
Yeah, I mean that's a good example. They have major stake in a lot of ecosystems, and so you have to ask the question: do they have a incentive to protect the value of those holdings because it represents in a liquid? It's a liquid on their balance sheet. Like if you have 10% of an ecosystem or 9% of an ecosystem, it's probably not something you can readily dump on the market. But if you look at things from this market cap perspective, not liquidity. It does make some sense to, if I can spend $1 million and move it 10% and then my net gain of that 10% is $15 million on my balance sheet, maybe it makes sense. Yeah. Especially when you're talking about using that as collateral for credit, but different story altogether.
Yeah, we can save
crypto,
that for next
baby.
Week. Crypto, baby. There's all kinds of nonsense.
Oh, dear. Well, we're sort of coming up to time, but one thing I just wanted to mention also is just like our hash rate and difficulty and things here, just here in the Ergo ecosystem. And we touched on sort of things sort of around the merge time. And if you look sort of 4 weeks prior to, I think we're around 9 terahash thereabouts, 8 or 9 terahash, it was quite low. And even with the way things are, like with the markets and power costs and everything like that, we're sort of about three or four times what that mark was. So we've still got a number of miners believing in the ecosystem. They're still retained here after the merge and everything like that. So I think it's pretty strong support there from the miners. And thanks everyone for sticking by Ergo. And you'll see just by the activity that we're currently seeing, and just sort of mentioning, like on the lending front, on the DeFi space, we've got uncollateralized loans, collateralized lending. We've got Sigma bonds or Sigma Fi. There's options contracts and everything like that. So it's exciting time for the ecosystem. And then hopefully that sort of reflects some value for these people who are sort of stuck by the Ergo and mining through potential losses and low profitability on that front.
Yeah, irrational mining is always the case in bear market. And it's ultimately on, the ecosystem to deliver value, because that's the value that's being secured by the network. So there's a lot of neat stuff going on, and I really hope that does translate to greater security subsidy for miners over time, because, well, we're proof of work ecosystem. Like, I know Alex has made videos on it that probably not many have watched. And talking about the core assumptions of Ergo, and it is basically an extension of Bitcoin with some extra features.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. We've all seen. Oh, I think it was he actually mentioned a quote somewhere. I believe it was Kushti. It's basically around the lines of there's 10,000-20,000 cryptocurrencies out there currently, and there's one number one, which is Bitcoin. And so why compared to any others? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we've got one that's been proven throughout the test of time. It's proof of work. We're just building on that with sound money and smart contracts and like the right assumptions and principles and everything like that. So it's borrowing from what sort of happened previous, but then it's driving innovation forward, but with some sort of conservatism there as well.
Yeah, and I think the GPU aspect is nice, to be honest. Like, I'm a fan of GPU mining versus ASIC, primarily because I see it as more guerrilla. Yeah. Meaning, you're always going to have concentration, right? You're always going to have large farms. It doesn't matter, ASIC, GPU, CPU, whatever. If there's an incentive there, somebody's going to, try to maximize their profit. But, the footprint of GPUs in terms of an actual distributed network, if we had a lot of individual miners, would be so hard to kill, because you're talking general purpose computer parts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyone can go into sort of some computer store, or like, I don't know, you've got Best Buy over there. We've got a number of sort of retail stores here. You can jump online and pick up a GPU and away you go. So that's the beauty of it. Or it wasn't the case previously with, obviously, with the previous bull run. There was obviously difficulties getting GPUs, but yeah, they're sort of dime a dozen now.
Yeah, there for a while, there was even some miners that were just recycling computers.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's got bigger than a 4 gigabyte card. Pull it.
Yeah.
Throw it on a, you know, rack and get to work.
Yeah, put it to use. All right, gents, we're sort of coming up to time. Is there any last words we want to sort of, we had a pretty vast or wide sort of ranging discussion. Is there anything we want to touch on?
No.
We recently had an emission rate drop. Yeah. It's worth touching on that, I think, before ending a mining discussion. The next one is in 81 days, it looks like. Over the next year, there's going to be a lot of emission reduction, and that'll be really interesting to watch what happens.
Yeah, we're going to be rolling down the stairs.
Yeah, we're at the stairs. We're just starting to come down the stairs.
Yeah, so, well, that's an interesting point. So we just saw the emissions drop by 3, it was a couple of weeks ago now, roughly. So block rewards are now 42 erg, I believe. Another one coming up in 80-odd days, as Noah just mentioned, dropped down to 39, and there'll be 2 more by the end of the year as well. So, the scarcity of erg is coming around pretty quickly, and the next year alone as well, compared to where we are now, it's basically 2 halvings or thereabouts. It's pretty interesting.
That's
And you know, on one hand, that gets traders excited, but on the other hand, that's the security subsidy. So, you know, markets have to balance that.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, that's the fuel multiple, basically, isn't it? Miners holding, and obviously, going to be a little bit more difficult if we do have a fast emission and market conditions do say somewhat unfavorable, and there's still sort of uncertainty in regards to energy costs and things. So it'd be interesting to sort of watch all this play out.
That's all I got.
Too easy. And Joe's got nothing, just basically no.
I'm at peace.
Very zen-like, Joe. Thanks everyone for tuning in. It's been a pleasure bringing this Hash It out once again. Just to sort of reiterate, if anyone's looking into sort of diving deeper into the Lithos protocol, the light paper's out there, and Noah's hosting the Twitter space with those guys, Rob and Cheese, I believe, on it was Thursday.
Yep. 2 days from, oh, who knows when the video will be out, but January 19th is when the space will be.
Awesome. So anyone interested, jump on there and check it out. And thanks everyone for tuning in. It's been a pleasure chatting once again, gentlemen. Have a good one.
See you.
Have a good one.